In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Burlington Cloisters, Knightsbridge, Tuesday the 8th of November. Night. A 40-something man waits impatiently in the lobby of the imposing block of flats. He addresses a porter.
You the bloke in charge? My wife hates flying. She's already worried about the return. Plus, we've got three kids. The body clocks are all crooked. And now, when we're trying to sleep, we've got this drip, drip, drip coming through the ceiling.
Entering a flat.
You know, this place isn't at all like they said it'd be.
It's flooded.
All those glowing testimonials online.
The bath is overflowing.
Tell you what, though, mate.
The porter looks in the bedroom.
I think they're all phony. How about that, eh?
Oh, Christ.
A woman wearing red bra and knickers lies dead on the floor. There's a bloody wound in her back.
Well? Oh, the girl's name is Katerina Sizek. We've ID'd her from her bank card.
Nice line in underwear.
And whoever's done this has just walked straight in. There's no sign of forced entry and no murder weapon either. Anyway, what's his story?
Holiday rental below. He says water started seeping through the ceiling at around 9:30.
Right, so what do you think? She's running a bath, doorbell goes, you never get a chance to turn it off.
Got a bit. Ronnie, we found this.
Right. You may be able to get something on the SIM card.
There's more.
Sex toys in the bedside cabinet, very good.
This was hidden under the mattress.
Right, working girl. Explains the push-up bra.
There was a huge wad of cash. The body is turned over. Ronnie winces. A caption, law, shots of the characters in various scenes. Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, Harriet Walter as DI Natalie Chandler. Another caption, order, Dominic Rowan as Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Thorne, Freema Agyeman as Junior Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips, and Peter Davison as Director of CPS Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. This episode is called Crush. Ronnie and Matt are with the porter, who's throwing bin bags into a dumpster.
Just say hello in the lobby a few times, talk about the weather, otherwise...
All right, what about the men who used to visit her?
What about them?
Well, any incidents? Rows, complaints from the neighbours, that sort of thing?
No. Well, did Katerina mention anything?
I barely knew her.
But you knew she was a Tom?
Yeah, it didn't bother me, though.
That's not what I asked, though, is it, Miss Hunter?
I suspected. I mean, I've got eyes. They'd wait in the lobby, then when the men arrived, they'd go upstairs for an hour, back down, wait for the next.
Must have felt like a posh knocking shop.
Only if you let it.
Or did Katerina have any other friends in the building?
Yeah, there's Susanna something. She's another one, you know.
Escort.
Eastern European.
Burlington Cloisters, November 9th. In the lobby with Susanna.
No, we're with different agencies, but... You know, same bullshit.
I mean, did you know what agency Katka was with?
No. She moved a month or so, but I don't know where.
Did she ever talk about her clients?
She was waiting for a rich man to carry her away, like in Pretty Woman. I told her, men who pay £150 an hour are not looking to grow old with you. Katka. She always know better.
How about savings? Did she have any of those, do you know? Or running away money?
Men pay the agencies direct. How much do you think we see?
Well, we found £4,000 hidden in her flat.
Susanna shrugs.
Maybe Katka know better after all.
Brunette Susanna gets up from her seat.
I'm sorry. I have to get ready.
Well, do you know if any of her clients knocked her about? Or threatened her?
No. The agencies are quite good at making sure the man is prestigious and nice. But you never know, do you?
She nods a farewell to them.
Thanks for your time.
Susanna smiles politely and hurries away.
Well, maybe she found her Richard Gere and stretch limo after all.
Oh, yeah, because it really works like that, doesn't it?
Well, that £4,000's got to come from somewhere, mate. Plus, she had a bank account, so why stuff it under a mattress?
I don't know. Maybe Katka didn't want anyone to know about it.
Blackmail?
Yeah, hookers blackmailing their johns. Pay up or I'll tell the wife's not unheard of, is it?
Bit spaghetti against the wall, wasn't it?
Yeah, she hid the money for a reason, Gov.
Maybe she was moonlighting. A bit of extra work on the side.
Well, either way, it might give us a motive.
Forensic pathology lab.
Traces of spermicide and lubricant. She'd had sex, but with a condom. No sign of rape. Bit of bruising, but I'd say because the sex was energetic, not violent.
I remember that.
Having sex?
No, being energetic.
Evidence for having had STIs in the past. Chlamydia, herpes, bacterial vaginosis, usual suspects.
Occupational hazard. Right, what about HIV?
No. Oh, there was one other thing. The knife hit a rib on the way in. Normally you'd expect it either to stop or to break the rib, but this one, it kind of bent down and under.
This blade was really flexible.
A specialist knife?
Yeah, for filleting or skinning, yeah.
And what else?
Partially digested food in Katka's stomach confirms the time of death at or around 9 p.m.
Yeah, forensics are working up the DNA and profiles of the crime scene, but that flat saw a lot of traffic.
What about the SIM card?
Nothing yet.
Oh, what's the porter got to say?
Michael Hunter, strictly see no evil.
So no witnesses, no evidence, no forensics?
Well, there's the bendy knife.
Which you haven't found. Come on, what about regular clients?
Well, we have to know which agency she was working for first.
Look, she rented that flat off someone.
I've gone through Katka's laptop.
Oh, any blackmail material, secret movies, photos of the killer?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
But she wrote a blog.
I don't understand this. Whatever happened to keeping things private? I mean, now it's just all out there for everyone to see and read. There's stuff on here I wouldn't even tell myself, yeah.
Ronnie?
Yeah?
No one's listening.
Yeah.
Did you find anything?
Lot of Lovek.
Sorry?
Well, Katka, in between some of her more lurid passages, mentions this bloke, Lot of Lovek, quite a lot. In fact, I'm tempted to say there's a whole lot of Lovek going on.
Yeah. Please resist it.
It looks like old Lot of Lovek wouldn't leave her alone. I had another run-in with Lot of Lovek today. He came to see me again. He's getting worse. I've tried being nice. What's it going to take to make him stop? And that was the last but one passage.
OK, the whole block of flats is owned by an investment company, which runs it through a holding company, which rents Katka's flat to another outfit, which in turn...
Nodding off.
Kensington Bells, who offer sophisticated female companionship.
At £150 an hour. Right, get your coat. Come on.
Kensington Bells, November 10th.
Did Katka mention any clients she was having problems with?
Not that I can recall.
So she never mentioned anyone called Lotta Lovek?
Never.
Right. Well, we'll need a list of her clients from Tuesday night, please.
She wasn't working that night. I have no idea who she saw.
Right, then we'll settle for the credit card details of everyone she's seen for the last 3 months.
Oh, I don't have to do that.
Do you really want to play it like this?
I know what you think I am, but whatever my girls do, it's their choice. There's no coercion. We merely facilitate introductions. Men look for company and we provide it. Of course, if two consenting adults wish to take it further, that's their choice.
You've got it all worked out, haven't you?
Bearded Simon Bevan smiles.
You need a warrant for my records, and I'm guessing you can't get one or you'd have it already.
Ronnie smiles and sits down.
However, we could always crawl all over your business. I mean, real forensic detail take months and months. Find out exactly how much of that £150 goes back to those girls. And what with, I don't know, rents and commission. Probably get about, what, 20%?
I reckon that's generous, Ronnie. I'd say more like 10.
Ten. Either way, I bet we could make it look a lot like coercion.
Matt reads a list as he and Ronnie walk.
Popular girl. There's a lot of fellas out there looking for company.
Except I sort of understand the curb crawlers. Strictly business, and everyone knows it. But this whole dinner and a promise thing. I mean, looks like a date, feels like a date, but it's just a
simulacrum.
Eh? Is that another one of your made-y-uppy words?
No, it means an unsatisfactory substitute.
Well, either way, you've got to be pretty sad.
Sad, Matty? Just lonely.
Home of Barry Blunstone, Tooting. Barry tearfully wipes his nose.
I loved her. She was a present for my 18th. My mates all chipped in. So I could lose my, you know.
That's kind of them.
I suppose. It wasn't a success.
That was a couple of months ago. I mean, have you seen her again?
Twice.
What about the night before last?
I was working in the pub all night, saving up, see? Three more nights, and I'll have enough.
Magdalen College, Bloomsbury, talking to a suave-looking man on the steps to the building, which has a colonnade at the front.
Escort agency? No, of course not.
And yet there's a charge to your credit card for £150 on September the 14th.
Well, that's impossible. I've never... September?
The 14th.
No, wait, my card was cloned a few months back. Apparently I bought a couple of laptops and a mobile phone. Didn't realise I'd bought a prostitute as well. I'm sorry, I can't be of any more help. I should get back to the book. It's the second part of my History of the Crusades. The first one was very well received. Maybe you read it.
Sorry, no, I didn't.
I did. What do you think I am? Some sort of Neanderthal?
A never-ending source of wonderment, Matt.
We'd like to take a DNA sample.
Really, do you think? Even though I've just...
If you don't mind, Mr. Williams.
No. No, whatever you want.
We've got the numbers off the sim. Good news. Katka called the same number four times the day she died, but do you want to know the bad news?
Don't tell me. It's an unregistered pay-as-you-go number.
There's no flies on you.
Nope. So, unless we find the phone, it's absolutely useless.
Ronnie, someone to see you. Interview two.
Matt.
I'll catch you up.
Yeah.
I found Lotra Lovitz.
You said to call if there was something.
Susanna in the interview room.
I need you to protect me.
There's no record of anyone called Lotra Lovitz on any database, so I started to think maybe it was some sort of code, like some sort of simple displacement, like how Hal, in 2001, had the letters before IBM. You with me?
No, but carry on.
Well, it wasn't that, so then I thought maybe it's something simpler. So she's Czech, right? Maybe it means something.
He said if I don't have sex with him, he'll tell immigration. I said no, and he hit me. Said next time would be worse. I can't. If immigration find out, I need this money.
And who said this?
Lotra Lovitz. Now, in Czech fairy tales, the prefix Lotra is used to denote villain, bad, something. See?
And Lovitz?
He tried the same with Kiatka. She told me she said she thought it was a joke. But he was a joke. But he wasn't, was he?
And who did this, Susanna? Who threatened you?
Outside the interview room.
Lotra Lovitz means bad hunter, as in
Michael Hunter, the porter.
Yeah.
I'd say see no evil was a little wide of the mark, wouldn't you?
So I have a master key, so what?
Well, maybe Katka didn't let her kill her in.
Yeah, maybe he just walked in, all by himself.
This is stupid.
Beat up all the girls in, do you? Or just the ones who won't give in?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You were on duty the night Katka died.
Yeah, you know I was.
Yeah. However, we have several witnesses that say you weren't at your desk at the time of the murder.
It's careless of me.
Michael, still wearing his red and gold porter's uniform, looks edgy.
I was out the back having a fag.
Your DNA is all over Katka's flat.
Of course it is. I found her. That's all I did.
Well, you told us that you hardly knew her. Why would you lie about that? Do you reckon these working girls are vulnerable? Yeah? Easy prey. So you go and tell them you'll grass them up unless they play nicely. Is that how it works?
I didn't kill her. I'm not... I see the way she smiled at the men when they came to see her. I just wanted her to look at me in the same way. You know, I wear this stupid monkey suit and I'm invisible. I just wanted to be noticed, that's all.
But instead, she laughed at you, didn't she? I mean, she thought you were a joke.
Michael shakes his head.
You didn't plan it. Got out of hand. That's what happened, isn't it? He denies it, and without a murder weapon, we got nothing to link him.
He copped to threatening her.
And that's all?
You like him for this?
Well, it doesn't smell right. He's a lying weasel with a nice line in self-pity, but a killer.
We got a match on one of the DNA swabs.
Home of Gavin Williams, Muswell Hill.
Okay. I saw her. In September and again the other night.
He flops down onto a chair at his desk.
I was on my way to have dinner with my agent. They're talking about pushing back my publication date and... All I needed was a friendly face. That's all. I should have told you, I know. But I thought if I denied it, it would just
Go away.
Yes.
Your DNA was found under her fingernails.
So, did she scratch you, trying to defend herself, maybe?
We had sex. Okay? Katka scratched my back when she, you know. I didn't kill her. I swear on my son's life. You have to believe me. I'd never.
Maybe you saw something.
No, I just said goodbye and left. I didn't see anyone.
Gavin? I'm home.
He hurries to his open study door.
Be out in a minute.
Ronnie raises his eyebrows at Matt.
Look, I love my wife. There's no reason she has to know about this, is there?
Matt smiles tightly.
So after you left, you met your agent?
Penshaw & Cole Literary Agency.
We met for dinner at around 9:30.
And how did Mr. Williams seem?
Thank you. Thank you.
Antsy. Distracted. He had a drink, which helped. And we talked through some new ideas. Books, TV.
Oh, he does TV as well?
We're waiting for the go-ahead for his first series. A six-part history of the Crusades, but seen through the prism of today's Islamophobia.
Quite a prism. Mm.
Lucrative, though, I'd have thought.
He's not really interested in money. I mean, he gets invited onto TV shows all the time. Discussions, talking heads. He doesn't do that many. Turns them down if it requires an overnight stay.
Why is that?
Because of Sam. His little boy. He has cerebral palsy. Gavin won't leave Jane to cope on her own. He's missed out on quite a few gigs, but he's adamant.
A model husband.
He loves his family.
MIU Central Headquarters, November 14th.
Michael Hunter's alibi stands up. He punched a fag off a couple of waiters at the back of an Italian restaurant next door.
And how do they know it was 9 o'clock?
Because someone set up a telly in the kitchen so they could watch AC Milan live. And they were still watching when the final whistle blew around 9:30.
Well, he's not our man then.
You think it was the professor?
Well, he's more to lose than most.
Only if he was being blackmailed, and you can't prove that. You don't actually know anyone was.
And so she's just printed that $4,000 herself, has she, on a John Bull printing press?
Teddy's found something.
A bit of the blade broke off. I noticed it under the microscope, so I called Lily and... Bingo.
Bingo?
You see, when it glanced off the rib, a tiny sliver got left behind. You know, barely a millimetre in the wound.
So we find the blade, we can match it, yeah?
Yeah, like ballistics and GSR rolled into one.
Good.
Only, you know, with a knife.
Bank record you asked for. Gavin Williams made 8 cash point withdrawals in the last 14 days.
Thanks, Ange. That £500 a pop?
No way. £4,000. Exactly what Katka had.
Yeah. Well, let's see what your professor has to say about that, eh?
Blackmail?
Well, do you know anything about the £4,000 that we found?
They're outside the college.
Why would I pay her and then kill her? And if I did kill her, why would I leave £4,000 lying around?
You see, I think she got paid earlier, and then she hid the money.
Do you have a second phone?
Of course not.
Only Katka called a particular pay-as-you-go number 4 times the day she died.
So?
So we think she got paid off, got a bit greedy, came back for some more.
Which is when whoever she was blackmailing decided that enough was enough.
And you think that was me?
Well, you withdrew £4,000 in the last fortnight.
No, I didn't.
Mr. Williams, we have your bank records.
He blinks and takes a deep breath.
I didn't take that money out. It'll be my wife. We have a shared account. Household, you know, cash. Jane has a business she runs with a friend, interior design. She buys antiques and bric-a-brac for cash. So it must have been Jane who took that money out, not me.
Home of Gavin Williams, Jane feeds Sam in the kitchen.
He called me and told me what you think he did. It's ridiculous. People like my husband don't go to prostitutes. He's not the type.
What is the type?
Please don't be clever with me.
What about the money you took out?
What money?
£4,000, your husband sold
us. Yes, of course, my business. You see, I buy a lot of things with cash. We both use the household account.
But it's in your husband's name.
I use it a lot. I prefer to keep that account separate from my business one.
So the tax man doesn't find out. The £4,000, Mrs. Williams?
I bought some antiques from a place near Kingston.
Can you prove that?
I'm not aware I have to.
Mrs. Williams.
Are you arresting me, officer?
No.
Then, if you'll excuse me, my son needs to eat.
Oh, thank you for your time. Matty.
It's an impressive collection of knives.
It should be. It cost a fortune.
Of course you're missing one.
There's a knife block on the windowsill.
We had the kitchen done the other month. It probably got lost then.
The knife that went missing from Gavin Williams' house was a 27-centimetre filleting blade, which matches the depth and the width of the penetration wound.
And it flexes.
Which gives us a murder weapon.
Yeah. Gavin Williams initially lied about knowing the girl. We've got DNA puts him at the scene. He's got no alibi for the time of death. Also, withdrawals from his bank account matches the amount of money found under the girl's mattress.
And do you think it's blackmail?
Well, there's your motive.
Well, means, motive and opportunity.
And all of it circumstantial. What else have you got?
Preponderance of probability. That's what they've got. Or in other words, what are the chances? It's not beyond reasonable doubt, but you can see it from here. Pick him up.
Magdalen College Library, Euston, Monday, November 14th. Ronnie and Matt walk past a long queue of people waiting to have their copies of Gavin's book signed. He sits at a desk signing them.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Matt apologises to the person next in line as he and Ronnie move to the head of the queue.
I don't believe it.
I know. Should have brought my book along for you to sign.
Gavin Williams, I'm arresting you on the suspicion of the murder of Katrina Sizek. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence.
Preponderance of crap, more like. He got nothing.
We have the pay-as-you-go mobile phone your client hid and denied having.
So all he's guilty of is seeing a prostitute and lying about it to his wife. You want to make that illegal? There aren't enough prisons in the world.
Meanwhile, my contracts have been cancelled. No publisher will touch me. I'm the laughingstock. I'm ruined and I didn't do anything.
Don't you think my client has suffered enough?
As much as Katarina Zitzek.
The DNA only shows he was there, which we don't deny. You have no murder weapon, and your only proof of motive is the cash withdrawals that match the amount found at the scene. Now, you say blackmail, I say coincidence. And Jane Williams will give evidence that she withdrew that money. You can't prove she didn't. You can't prove anything.
She smiles challengingly.
You really want to do this?
With Henry.
She has a point. The only thing we can prove is infidelity.
And it's not like that's a crime.
Maybe it should be.
Hello?
Well, don't vows mean anything anymore?
Since when did you become a maiden aunt?
You're saying it doesn't count if you have to pay for it.
It was just sex, Henry. Stupid, yes, pathetic even. But I don't think it makes
it's
it
not
a criminal.
It's sex. It's the dishonesty. He made a fool of his wife, a mockery of their life together. That's the reality of the situation. It's never just sex.
Gavin Williams didn't kill Katka because he was married. He was worried about losing his professional standing, not his wife. His marriage was incidental.
Tell that to Jane Williams.
All right. At Key Plank, Gavin Williams killed Katarina because she was blackmailing him.
Yeah.
So, how do we know?
Russell Square, Bloomsbury, November 22nd.
4,000 is a lot of cash.
Alicia's with Susanna.
I said I don't know about money. Look, I understand you want to defend Katka's name. It's all she has left. Except it doesn't help. Not if it stops us from punishing the man who did this.
They walk beside fountains.
There was one guy. He used to see her a lot. She said he was sweet on her.
He had a crush?
Yes, crush. He kept telling her how clever she was, how good her brain was, that she should use it, improve herself. He said he would help.
And did he?
Susanna shrugs.
He kept buying her stuff. Gifts, with little notes.
Like jewelry.
Susanna smiles bitterly.
Jewelry she could have used or sold. No, he gave her books. What good is that? She gave them to charity shop around the corner, so at least they do someone some good.
Did she tell him to stop?
No, she was embarrassed. He was nice, but she saw him because he paid her, not because... I told her to be careful. I told her she should end it before it got too... But Katka just laughed, said she knew what she was doing. Reckon she could get more out of him than just books.
Oxfam, Knightsbridge. Matt checks books.
Yeah, pretty soon, this lot will be redundant. We'll all be reading books on our phones. Entire libraries in the palms of our hands.
Never happened.
You'll see.
Well, books are knowledge, Matty. Ideas, you know. Hold a book in your hand, you know you've got something there. It's got heft. Mm. You can't do that if it's been all digitalized.
Feel free to help, yeah?
And...
Ronnie, who's been staring at a shelf of books, bends and picks one up. He leafs through it.
You can't do that with a gizmo.
He shows Matt the inside cover.
Katka for everything, always G. For the love of God, A History of the Crusades, Part 1, by Gavin Williams.
Ronnie takes the book back.
Vanity, thy name is Gavin.
Knight.
So you think Gavin Williams was in love with Katka?
And we know she was planning to turn that into hard cash.
Well, if she was blackmailing him, we've got our motive.
Almost.
We need to break the wife's story. Where did you say she spent the money?
Kingston Antiques Emporium, November 23rd.
Yeah, I know. She comes in here a lot. Only interested in high-end stuff. I mean, you can tell, of course. Lovely teeth.
Sorry?
Never trust someone who skimps on dental hygiene. They always turn out to be cheap.
Was she here a fortnight ago?
Perhaps. I can't remember. We get a lot of people. Oh, I remember. I sold her a chair and a matching footstool.
And she spent?
Oh. It was the Eames. Hang on. Here we are. I let her have them for 3,500.
That's all.
I know. I probably should have got four.
No, I mean, that's all she bought.
I couldn't get her to even look at anything else.
£3,500, Mrs. Williams. How do you account for the difference?
They're at the Crown Prosecution Service.
You'll have to in court.
Where you'll have plenty of time to ask her, but until
then... Did you know your husband bought Katerina gifts? That he had feelings for her?
Okay, time to go.
Your husband regularly saw a prostitute behind your back. Why are you still protecting him?
Jane.
The brief, Rachel Matheson lays a hand on Jane's arm. Jane turns to Alicia.
All I ever wanted was to be a wife and a mother. Can you understand that? And the night he was with her, I sat at home worrying. What his agent would say, how his career was going, fretting. When all the time he was...
Jane stares down sadly.
I have to live with the knowledge that this person meant something to Gavin. But this is my family, mine. And I'm not going to help you destroy it.
Jane fixes her with a cold, determined look, then turns on her heel and leaves. Alicia role-plays for Jacob in their office.
I understand what you're doing.
I'm not doing anything.
You're being loyal.
No.
You're trying to link the money you used to buy the chair with the money that was withdrawn from the hole in the wall, but you took money out all the time. There is no link.
If my husband had done what you claimed, do you think I'd stand by him regardless?
Then perhaps it's fear. This is the life you feel you're owed, right? Nice husband, nice house. All you have to do is be the dutiful wife. Isn't that what you were taught? And now something like this comes along and your reaction is, nope, never happened.
Mm-mm. It's too harsh.
Alicia gets up from her desk.
What do you think?
If you bully her, won't she come across as sympathetic?
Well, she's lying to protect a murderer. I think the jury needs to see it.
What they'll see is someone whose life's fallen apart but who's holding her ground, fighting for her family.
You admire her, don't you?
Little bit.
Why?
Because she's been betrayed and humiliated, yet there she is, dug in, holding everything up with spit and willpower.
And that's sort of impressive.
Yeah.
We're still going to have to break her, though.
We'd better. Without her, we can't prove motive.
Crown v. Williams, trial day 3.
Yes, I'd say a wound like this, its trajectory, is highly unusual.
And you concluded...
The blade was flexible.
Thank you.
Jacob nods to the judge and sits.
Is it not possible that this was a rigid blade that was simply deflected by the rib?
Were that to happen, I'd expect the lateral movement of the knife to open up the entry wound, causing a tearing of the flesh as the angle of penetration altered.
It's not possible? Even though human skin is elastic and the victim might well have been moving at the moment she was stabbed, it's impossible that this wound was caused by a rigid blade?
It's unlikely,
but not impossible.
Rachel looks smug. Susanna's on the witness stand.
She reckons she could get more out of him than just books. That's what you said in your statement.
If you say so.
And during this conversation, was the word blackmail used at any time?
It didn't have to be.
So she never actually said it?
No.
Did she mention my client by name?
No.
Just that he gave her gifts?
That she gave to charity shop.
Hmm. Katka, for everything, always G. How many clients did Katka have?
My lord, the witness can't possibly be expected to answer that.
Miss Matheson?
Were you busier than Katka?
About the same.
And how many regular clients do you have?
Around 50, maybe more.
One or two with the initial G?
More than that. It is not unusual.
It isn't, is it?
Rachel smiles.
Thank you.
Some of those punches landed today.
Listen, tomorrow, Jane Williams.
Yeah, if we can show she's lying, we can establish
a motive. I want you to do it.
Me?
Well, you interviewed her, you understand her. I think impressive was the word you used, wasn't it?
Yeah, along with sort of.
Listen, if we're going to break her, isn't it better to use an understanding, impressed woman than a nasty, bullying man?
You'll be right beside me. Won't it seem a bit cynical?
No, because I won't be there.
What's going on?
I have to be out of town.
During a trial?
It's personal.
Nothing to do with rats and sinking ships, then?
No. And wear a wig. Juries like them, God knows why. Bit of gravitas, I suppose.
Jake!
Without one, you look like my PA.
He walks off. Crown v. Williams, trial day 4. Alicia, wearing wig and robes, rises to cross-examine Jane. Alicia looks down at documents and composes herself.
Mrs. Williams, you gave evidence that in the 2 weeks before the murder, you made 8 withdrawals of £500.
I have a little business which I run with a friend. We buy certain items, antiques, often for cash.
Do you know what this is? Thank you.
Alicia passes over a document via a clerk of court.
It's a delivery note.
Would you read what's written on it, please?
Sold 1 Eames chair and footstool cash.
And the amount, please, Mrs. Williams?
£3,500.
And is that your signature on the bottom?
Yes.
You took out £4,000?
Yes.
So where did the other 500 go?
I must have spent it somewhere else.
At the Antiques Emporium?
Yes. Now you mention it, I bought 2 Tiffany lamps, blue dragonfly.
Only we have statements from all the other stallholders there. You didn't buy anything from them that day, certainly not Tiffany lamps.
Perhaps they forgot.
A £500 sale. No records, no recollection.
Maybe it was another day or somewhere else.
Or maybe it didn't happen at all. Your husband withdrew that cash to pay off his blackmailer, and now you're covering for him, isn't that right?
No. I bought the Eames...
Yes, with cash that had nothing to do with the money that was taken out of your husband's account.
That's not true.
You withdraw cash all the time, you said so yourself.
Yes,
so but... you thought that you could pass off his cash withdrawal as one of your own?
No.
And by trying to link these two entirely separate things, you'd hope that it would explain everything away. Only the sums don't quite add up, do they, Mrs. Williams? None of it quite adds up, does it?
Henry's been watching and smiles. Rachel removes her wig and talks to Alicia as they gather up their papers in court.
Honestly, you prep them, you coach them on their answers, hours and hours getting them ready so they won't freeze in the box. And what happened? Oh, it's not like we didn't see you coming.
Henry enters Jacob and Alicia's office.
Congratulations. You were flopping around like a landed fish up there.
I don't know about that.
Jacob was right. It was so much better coming from you.
Well, it's not like he gave me much choice.
She heads out.
You think he dropped you in it?
Don't you?
They walk past reception, then stop.
Look, it's his mother. She's not at all well. That's why he had to go and see her.
Oh, I see. He didn't say.
No. He'll be back for closing. Just so you know. You should be pleased with yourself.
Henry smiles and walks off, carrying files under one arm. Alicia walks on, passing Henry's office, and sees him through the open blinds of his floor-to-ceiling window. She marches back to the open door.
Henry, I wasn't that good. Jane Williams was prepped and ready for me. I didn't come at her with anything new. But she did more than just fall apart up there. She made our case for us. Why would she do that?
Have you reached a verdict upon which you are all agreed?
We have.
On the charge of the murder of Katerina Sizek, do you find the defendant, Gavin Williams, guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Gavin starts and looks to Jane, who briefly meets his stunned gaze, then looks away and lowers her eyes. At the CPS.
I think she did it deliberately.
Oh, come on, Alicia.
Without her, we couldn't make the blackmail stick. Without the blackmail, we had no case. She knew that.
Nerves. Happens all the time.
I interviewed her. Remember, this one doesn't get nervous. You were there. All she had to do was stick to her story.
That's true.
Henry?
Continue.
I'm just saying, maybe this loyal wife wasn't that loyal after all. Maybe she just got the result she wanted.
It's the one we wanted, too.
I'm just saying it's worth it.
We got the right man.
For the right reasons?
We got him. Does it matter how?
So the ends justify the means, simple as that.
He killed Katka Sitzek.
And his wife served him up on a plate. Doesn't that strike you as odd?
Remind me, we won this case, right?
For now. But if I'm thinking this, how long before Rachel Matheson does the same? I just want to dig around, see what's there. It wasn't nerves.
When's sentencing?
2 weeks.
Henry glances at Jacob and considers.
Do it on your own time.
Home of Vanessa Marsh, December 15th.
Gavin didn't stand a chance.
Thank you. In what sense?
We'd only just started up the business. We were doing the house of a friend of his. They met. She told me afterwards, he's the one. Give me a year, he proposed after 10 months. Janie always gets what she wants.
And the marriage was good.
What would I know? My ex spent years banging anything with a pulse, and I thought everything was fine.
Did she ever confide in you?
She thinks it's a sign of weakness. Even when Sam came along, she didn't, you know. There was one day she cried. For Janie, that's Krakatoa.
What happened?
It was a little while ago now. Sam must have been 6 months. Whole days she was away with the fairies.
Because of something that happened?
I think looking after Sam was really taking it out of her. So I told her I'd babysit and she should go out, see a movie, get pissed, just forget it all.
And did she?
Well, that's where she was the night Gavin bumped off his Eurotar.
Night in the street.
Okay, so she was out in the piss. I think we need a bit more than that.
How about she tell me she was at home that night? Fretting.
Go on.
In the weeks leading up to the murder, she was distracted. Stressed.
Well, so would you be if your kid had cerebral palsy.
What if she knew about Katka then? What if she planned to do something about it? What if all of it, the display of loyalty, the collapse in the witness box, was actually her manipulating all of us?
You think she killed Katka?
I think she wanted her husband to pay for what he did. Motive. The knife matches theirs, means. She follows him to Katka's, waits, and after he's gone, rings the bell, I'm his wife, can we talk? Opportunity.
But if she wanted to frame him, why not just produce the knife? She knows it'll lead us straight to him.
She's smarter than that. If she did, he would know it's her.
That's quite a leap. Weren't you ever taught, you hear hooves, think horses?
Not zebras, I know. But all along, she's provided evidence that looks like it exonerates him, while at the same time actually condemning him. Sometimes it is zebras.
Jacob considers.
Maybe she's sly. But so am I.
Legal visits room, Wardingley Prison, 16th of December.
I don't understand.
When the lab sent the contents of Katka's stomach to be tested, the samples were compromised.
Which means what? We can't be sure of the time of death.
So it might have been later.
It might, we're not sure.
But it could have been when I was with Steph, my agent. Which means I couldn't possibly...
We'll know soon enough.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh, God. Do you realise what this means?
Gavin hugs Jane. Alicia notes Jane's tense expression and flicks a look at Jacob. The Crown Prosecution Service, City of London.
Did she bite?
Let's wait and see.
Rachel Matheson was very convincing.
Well, I'm sure she was, but she thinks it'll get her client off.
Yes.
Hot shots. What if you're wrong? You colluded with Gavin Williams' lawyer and offered the false hope of exoneration as bait.
Yep.
How do you think that would play out there?
Okay, thanks. That was Rachel. Jane Williams wants to meet us tomorrow. She bit.
Legal visits room, Wardingley Prison.
I remembered I'd left some boxes of crockery and whatnot at my mother's when we'd had the kitchen done. I phoned her.
And the knife was in there?
I can't believe I didn't remember until now.
And you collected it from your mother's last night?
That's right.
Alicia gives a fleeting, tepid smile, shares a look with Jacob, then eyes Rachel, who looks down. Alicia takes documents from a file and lays them in front of Jane.
These are sworn statements from D.S. Brooks and D.S. Devlin. They followed you from the moment you left here yesterday. You called at the house of Vanessa Marsh. You bought a bottle of wine. You went home and you didn't leave until you came here this morning. You didn't go near your mother's.
Sorry, I don't understand.
What does it matter? Just test the knife and it will prove that he's innocent.
We both know what it will prove. It'll be missing the slither of metal found in Katka's body. It will prove conclusively that it's the murder weapon, which is the idea, isn't it?
Sorry, what are you talking about?
How long had you known about Katka, Mrs. Williams? Long enough to withdraw small amounts of cash, 50 here, 50 there, nothing that would attract attention.
Which you squirreled away until you had $4,000. Then, the week before the murders, you made those big withdrawals, which you knew would show up when the police looked. That's how it happened.
Can't you stop this?
You killed Katka, planted the money under her mattress, went home, kissed your boy goodnight, and waited for the police to come calling.
Are you mad? Why would
you? The knife Jane bought in was the knife that killed Katka. If you didn't use it, then who did?
Gavin's mouth is agape as he stares over at Jane. Tears stream down her cheeks.
I found the phone. Your other one. The one you used for her.
Jane.
I read the texts. Saw how long you'd been lying. You piece of...
She bows her head.
Jane, I'm so sorry. It was just a stupid crush. It didn't mean anything. I would never do anything to hurt you and Sammy.
His eyes widen.
Jesus.
She stares at him resentfully.
I thought I could help her. She didn't deserve.
Even now, you've still no idea what you did.
Okay. Okay. I was an idiot. I'm sorry, but come on, do you think you're the first wife who's ever been cheated?
You gave me herpes!
So that's what this is about. You get a few sores and I have to go to prison.
I was pregnant! That whore gave it to you and you gave it to me and you kept it a secret! Thought if I didn't know, and all that time, you knew. Don't you get it? I didn't have any symptoms, so I never got it treated. And then Sam. Then Sam was born.
Oh, no.
I went to his brain. I was infected, and who knows if he'll ever walk or talk. The seizures, the spasms. You're the reason. My beautiful boy. It's not nothing. It's everything.
The barristers look somber as Jane puts a hand to her eyes and weeps. Gavin holds his clasped hands against his mouth and weeps. Jane rests her jaw on her hand and stares down. Night, Alicia joins Jacob in the pub.
What a solemn face.
Jane Williams has pleaded guilty.
And Gavin's left to look after his son.
A daily reminder.
Serves him right.
You think he was the villain?
Yes, no, I don't know.
Well, she was the one who ended up destroying three lives.
She lashed out.
Having spent the previous months cooking up the plan and getting the money out in order to frame him, hardly the heat of the moment.
Thank you. Her son got handed a life sentence. She just wanted to make them pay.
I wonder if she thinks it was worth it.
She was defending her kid. Isn't that what mothers are meant to do?
Yeah. That's what they do.
He drains his pint and prepares to leave.
I was sorry to hear about your mum.
Henry told you?
I thought you dropped me in it.
No, I'd never do that.
She nods.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
And your mum?
Thanks for asking.
The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. ITFC audio description.